إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، this is part 3 of these talks about gems of guidance for our youth. Yesterday, alhamdulillah, we began to read to you some of the from the talk by the Sheikh Muhammad Al-Fifi Hafizahullah, who is a member staff of the teaching staff in the Jami'at Al-Imam Muhammad bin Sa'ud Al-Islamiyya. The last point we mentioned is the danger of the imminent danger that our youth are facing, and we mentioned that they have to face the danger caused by the shaitan, by the nafs, because they're young, they full of energy and desires, and also the temptations around them, especially in the environment that we live in, they're young, also the bad friends. Sometimes a teenager, he has good manners, alhamdulillah, he grew up in a good family, his parents want good for him, but however, friends, the people around him, they call them to evil and to corruption. And the last point we mentioned is also that you find some Muslims, they, instead to help the youth, actually, they cause more problems for the youth. In the like of having coffee shops and the places that have temptations for the youth. And remember yesterday, we didn't name any coffee shop or nothing. You remember that, right? So this is applicable on any shop, doesn't regardless the name. And I didn't name them because even if we name them, it's not going to do no good. But the people, they need to know. It's not always money that matter. Because you're going to be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we did mention coffee shops in general. We didn't mention one name of any coffee shop. So this, it's halal to have a shop, a coffee shop, to sell coffee, to sell donuts, food. MashaAllah, that's okay. It's halal as long as the people, they sell what is halal. But for the people to take from those coffee shops the places when the youth be wasting times and watching TV and sports and times when the salat is in, but nobody is telling them, listen, go pray or nothing, that's become a problem. And those people that have businesses like that, they really should pay attention. Because Allah is going to ask them. If they don't know, it's upon us to talk to them too. Maybe they don't know. Who knows? You think everything we know, everybody knows that? No, it's incumbent upon us to go to them nicely, kindly, and tell them, Jazakum Allah khairan, barakallahu fikum, hayyakum Allah, may Allah reward you. But there is one thing, the food is good, alhamdulillah, Jazakum Allah khairan, the service is excellent, and you guys are nice people as we know you for years. There is one thing, ya akhwan. These movies, these TVs, this stuff here that, you know, that can, you should do something about it, and that's all you do, you give advice, inshallah ta'ala. So then the Shaykh, he says, now what about those youth? Look how it is serious for the youth and for us too, because we're wrong ourselves. We're advising the youth, but actually these advice are applicable on us. No doubt, the best way to do is to stay away from the fitan and trials and stay away from anything that keep you away from the remembrance of Allah. But where are those people amongst us? If there are people like this amongst us, well, alhamdulillah, may Allah increase them in that and save them and protect them. But as for those of us that we're still struggling, yes, we want good. We know that the Quran is good. We know that remembering Allah all time is no doubt that's the best thing. But we're still struggling. Well, guess what? Keep fighting, inshallah ta'ala, and ask Allah that one day you win, inshallah ta'ala. So what if one of those youth or one of us at that time of salat now, especially time of salat, watching a game? Can't do that. You just can't. Even if you have a problem, but the salat should be more important than anything else. The time of the salat, you gotta go to the masjid and pray. But what about those whose time of the salat, they don't care? They're still watching, they're still doing what they're doing. They still hanging together somewhere, talking, backbiting, lying, this and that, in times of the salat. It's sometimes also this one thing. Their parents, the mother, the father, tell them, listen, I want you to come at this time because I want you to take me somewhere. No, he don't want to take him somewhere. No, Real Madrid come before the mother. That's become a big problem. He disobeyed his mother to watch a soccer game. He disobeys his mother and father to watch a basketball game. He becomes a serious problem. This is how it becomes very serious. You remember the man, Juraij? You remember his story? His mother called him and he didn't reply. He didn't answer her call. What was he doing? Was he watching soccer or basketball? Baseball, right? What was he doing? He was praying. Subhanallah. He was praying. And his mother made dua. And Allah answered that dua. And you know his story, right? You know the trial he went through. Because his mother says, oh Allah, cause him not to die until he see the face of the prostitute. And this man was, at that time, this man, the whole village and the area, they look at him to be, he's the best. He's the best man. But then this lady, she lied against him. She got pregnant and lied against him. But the people, they believed her. They went up to him. They destroyed his place of worship. Subhanallah. He went through fitna and trial. And some youth, they don't care. Some youth, maybe their mother's making dua against them every day. For what? Because he was reading Quran? No, because he's watching a game. His friends? What friends? Friends that smoke cigarettes, al-ayyadu billah, listen to music, they are not your friends. Even if you have good friends, that whenever you gather with them, you gather on the Quran, hadith, kitab al-tawheed, but if they keep you away from your mother, that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And what about if one of those youth, the angel of death come to him while he's cheering for the kuffar? At time of Asr, time of Maghrib, the Muslims are praying in a jama'ah, the masjid may be like, what? Next door. Now, see, we're not just talking about these problems for the youth in here. There's youth everywhere, in Egypt, in Morocco, in Algeria, in Saudi, in Yemen, in Pakistan, in Somalia, in Gambia, Sierra Leone, Ghana, Senegal. These are the youth. Sometimes some youth, we at least hear, maybe this coffee is far from the masjid. But we're talking about in some Muslim countries, some coffee shops, there is only, you got to cross the street and you're in the masjid. While those kids are watching the game, they can hear the recitation of the imam. And sometimes they may say, somebody tell him to be quiet. A'udhu billah. See, shaitan. Why? Because that game get into their hearts. That desire now is deeply rooted. So what if the angel of death come to them at that time and take their soul? What are you going to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What answer? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِينَ. 3-4 kids, teenagers, getting, they pray in the masjid, but as soon as they get in the car by themselves, they put on the music. And they get on the highway. And who knows where they're going to? They ride in a car. And they drive in 75 miles an hour. What if something happened to that car? What if they catch a flat tire and the car flip in the air and catch a fire and they die? They will be resurrected on that which they die upon. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِينَ. The actions are judged based on the last thing you did and you died upon. That's why it's very important for us, grown-ups, adults, to get involved with the youth. We got to talk to them. And don't give up. Because what they do, those youth who do these things, that's a sickness, that's an illness, that's a disease. If you have a brother in your house that is sick, do you give up on him? Alhamdulillah. You give up on her? You don't. You have your brother. Alhamdulillah, you're doing good, but your brother is sick, very sick. And you try to give him the medicine and they don't want to take it. You give up on them. Now you're going to try another way to give it to them. Because you know it's good for them and they need it. Likewise, our youth. They need the reminder. They need the advice. They need the admonition. If it doesn't work today, it may work tomorrow. If it doesn't work tomorrow, it may work next week. If it don't work next week, it may work next month. If it doesn't work, period, so what? You did what you should. And what you could, and Allah will reward you. You don't stop giving advice just because people are not acting upon the advice. Because as long as you're giving advice, properly of course, in the right way, then you get reward by Allah, regardless the person you're advising, take it or not, apply it or not. And if you stop giving advice just because they are not doing it, what that mean? It's not good for you and it's not good for them. It's not good for you, why? Because now you stop the reward from Allah. And I give you an example. This brother here, he was broke, homeless, no money, nothing. No place, no car, no home, nothing. And then finally he find his job, working in this bakery. Bakery, they make bread. They told him, okay, they give him a nice truck. All we want you is to deliver this bread. You come early in the morning, right, 5 o'clock in the morning, you have 3 places, 2 hospitals and 1 school. That's all you have. Just make sure, read the, when you come in the morning, we want you to read carefully the orders. This hospital have these orders, this hospital have these orders, and this school has these orders. We just want you to take the proper orders to the proper places at the proper time. That's all I want you to do. You got $1,000 a week. And all benefits. This man didn't have $1. No, he's making $1,000 a week. Don't ask me for no applications, okay? This is only an example, okay? Inshallah. Alright? So this guy now, subhanAllah, he's driving. He finished by 10 o'clock in the morning, he's finished. He is done. 10 o'clock, 9, 9, 9:30, 10, he's done. And he was doing it. Wow. The first week he took that 1,000 and he bought him some nice clothing. The second week, subhanAllah. The third week, he already have a deposit now for a nice apartment. 2 months later, he bought a car. 6 months later, I'm going for Hajj. He's helping the masjid. Who needs something? I'm here. I know you brothers, when I didn't have nothing, you used to help me. Alhamdulillah. If anybody need, you know, any family, anything, electricity, the lights is on me. He's bringing, mashallah, the paper towel, what they call it? Toilet papers and this to the mess, he's bringing cases of bananas, cases of oranges, cases of spring water to the masjid. He's like, that's it. If you know any family here that they cannot pay anything, any bill, talk to me. Allah, he changed. One day he quit. The same brother, he quit. They didn't fire him, he quit. Then they call him, they like, Abdul, why did you quit? Why? He says, man, I find out that those guys, they don't eat the bread. They throw it away. See? They said to him, wait a minute. Did we make it a condition on you that the only way you get paid if they eat every single bite of it? No. What was the agreement? You just deliver the proper orders to the right place. They eat it. They sell it. They give it away. They throw it away. They burn it. None of your problem. You understand? That's not your problem. Who's still going to pay you? As long as you do it the right way. Don't come at 11 and say, I'm going to take the bread. No, that bread they want it at 6:30. They don't want it at 11. The other place they want it at 7 o'clock. And the other place they want it at 6 o'clock. So if you do this, doesn't matter. Same thing the da'i. You give advice, give it to the right people, in the right time, and the right amount. It's like when you give the doctor. The doctor, he gives the right prescription to the right person, and the right dose. If your son is sick, can you leave him home and go? You go to the doctor and say, listen, my son is sick. Just look at me. Check me out. I'm his father. All right? Check me out and give me some medicine. That's my father. That's my son. We drink the same milk, you know, juice. Just give me the medicine because of me and I give it to my son. The doctor will do that? No. It's the same thing. Some of us, we see we don't even know what's the problem. We just want to talk. That's why some of the youth, they smart. They know. Sometimes they don't want to respond because they know the one who's talking to them, he needs to be talked to first. The one who wants to talk to them and tell them you're going to be righteous, they know what he's been doing in the streets. He's like, oh yeah, now you want to talk to me. So it's very important for us, Ikhwan, to understand these things. قال الشيخ لذا أخي الشاب فإني أرسل إليك باقة من النصائح والتوجيهات أرجو أن تجد في قلبك الرحب مساحة وفي فؤادك الكبير سعة وراحة فإني والله عليك مشفق ولك محب وناصح. The Sheikh says, for these reasons, we don't want you to go through trouble. We don't want you to be, subhanAllah, to be this your end like this. The shaitan deceive you and you die on something that is very evil, not pleasing to Allah. He said, for this reason, my beloved young brother, and this is for the young sisters too, I'm sending to you this selection of advices and guidelines. And I hope that it will find your heart open for it. And you will accept it. Because the reason I'm doing this, because I love you and I want good for you. And I want to give you sincere advice. Number one from these advices. احرص يا أخي على تأدية الفرائض والواجبات وابتعد عن المعاصي والمحرمات واخلص في العبادة والطاعة. First thing he said to him, be diligent to perform the obligatory things upon you. Whatever Allah has made obligatory upon you, you have to do that. And stay away from sins. So even if a person is struggling or this, or shaitan telling him to do this, his nafs, time of salat, you gotta pray. Nothing comes before the salat. Ramadan comes, you gotta fast. You have some money and you can pay zakat, you gotta pay the zakat. You have money and you gotta make hajj, you gotta go make hajj. Even if you're struggling, because every one of us is struggling with something, man, don't you think the one who's talking to you is an angel? May Allah protect us. Ameen. And make us better. And forgive us our sins. We all have something, man. Alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He covers our sins. Can you imagine if the sins have smells? Huh? Look at the mercy of Allah. Can you imagine if every Allah has put a specific smell for every sin, you think we'll be sitting next to each other? Huh? Subhanallah. That's a rahmah from Allah. You may just look, smelling a person, you know what he did. But Allah's mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is merciful. A person may have done something awful. But he come to the masjid and people smile in his face. Hayyak Allah, mashallah. And that may help him. Because he may say, subhanallah, this is not right. I was out there, another person, I'm disobeying Allah. But still Allah allowed his brothers here to smile in my face. And that may be the cure right there. SubhanAllah. So therefore, you do the obligations. Preserve your obligations, what Allah has made obligatory upon you. Stay away from sins. Fight. And have ibadah sincerely for Allah. Make your hearts full of ikhlas. And be obedient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Indeed, salat prevents from fahsha, from all types of evil and wrongdoers. And Allah tells us about Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Yusuf. كذلك أن يصرف عنه السوء أو الفحشاء إنه من عبادنا المخلصين. Thus, it was that we might turn away from him evil and illegal sexual intercourse. Surely he was one of our chosen guided slaves. Number two, ابتعد عن رفاق السوء. رحمك الله. واحرص أن تتحرى الدقة في انتقاء الصحبة الأخيار. الذين يعينونك على طاعة الله ويحذرونك عن معصيته ويحبونك الخير. The second advice from the Shaykh to the youth, stay away from the evil friends. The bad friends, stay away from them. They bad not because they are from this color or from this country. No. They bad because they do bad things that are not pleasing to Allah. It's time for the salah, they don't want to pray. Let's pray. Come on, man. We're still young. Why do we have to worry about the prayer now? They want to steal. They want to lie. They want to smoke. They want to do bad stuff. Instead to listen to Quran, they love to listen to music. When Allah is mentioned, name or the Quran is recited, doesn't mean nothing. When a name of some famous sports person, oh yeah, they know more about LeBron James than they know about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They can tell you everything about Michael Jordan. Everything, even if he's not in game anymore. Tell me something about Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. They can even give you his name. You think these are good friends? So you stay away from bad friends. Alhamdulillah, you're a human being. You want to have friends to play with and to talk to. You can't live by yourself. That's okay. It's normal. But be careful to choose your friends. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he says, "Al-mar'u 'ala dini khalilihi." A person is on the religion of his closest friends. So let's every one of you be careful. Let him be careful to choose his friends. The Shaykh says, likewise, aren't you very picky and very careful when choose what you eat? Do you eat anything? Do you wear anything? Do you sleep anywhere? Do you live anywhere? You're very picky what you eat, where you go, where you sleep, what you wear. Be picky who you be with too. You got to. Don't just be friends with anybody. Now you're going to make sure we're going to be friends. Because if you're a friend with somebody, meaning you're going to spend a lot of time with that person. And that person, by spending time, is going to have an impact on you. And I know what I'm talking about. You find some youth, they were young, mashallah, they memorized Quran. They memorize the Quran, all of it, or some, or most of it, and they start acting up. When they were 9, 10, 11, 12, they're good. Everybody loved them in the masjid. Everybody, Allah Ta'ala, Ya Raja. They become 13, 14, they change. Why? They know the Quran. That's supposed to be better for them. They spend like 5, 6 years in the masjid every morning, evening, in the Quran, around the right people. But now they gone. Where? Because of friends. Because of the friends they spend time with. Choose the best, the same way. Eat food, you choose the best food, right or wrong. If you go to a buffet, they says, oh, it's open buffet. You know the buffet, right? It's an open buffet, and they have seafood, chicken, has goat, has many things. But what is your favorite? Ahmed, what's your favorite? Man, you don't even know. That's good, because you're simple, mashallah. Zakaria, what is your favorite food? You too? MashaAllah. Okay, somebody here.
Seafood.
Huh? Seafood? Alright, they have seafood, but then they have other stuff that you may not eat. You eat it, it's okay, but only if you're hungry. Do you gonna go for that food and leave the seafood? Or you will go for the thing you love. Yes, what is it?
Seafood.
Huh? Seafood? How old are you?
Six.
Six? You should say cereals, man. Cereal is good for you. No? Seafood? What seafood do you like? Which one?
Hmm?
What seafood? What kind of seafood do you like?
Which one?
Yeah.
No.
You don't know? Give me a name of seafood you like. Which one? Chicken? Which one? I'm talking to 6 years old, by the way, okay? Goat? Is goat seafood? Chicken is seafood. Right? See, I told you should stick with cereal. Alhamdulillah. You're right, seafood is good for you. Tayyib. I'm just giving an example. Likewise, you look at the good friends. How you know the good friends? Doesn't matter what country he's from. Because he's good. He's in the masjid. When he comes to the masjid, he sits in the first row. And he read the Quran. He respect the elders. When he sees somebody else than him, he try to get a chair for him. He try to talk to him. He when he talk to the elders, he don't even look at their faces. Yes, naam, hayyakallah, jazakallah khair. He opened the door for them. If he's coming to the masjid and he see an elderly coming behind him, he don't just slam the door. No, he opened the door for the elder. لا تفضل يا شيخ لا يا عمي لا أبدا تفضل بارك الله فيك لا لا I can't. If my father see me going in front of you, I'll be in big trouble. Sheikh, come on, just please, don't get me in trouble. These are your friends. Not those who come to me, oh yeah, did you see the game yesterday? Oh, you see the movie in HBO? HBO 6, HBO 7? Oh no, you know, this HBO 7? Who knows? Maybe I'm talking in the future. That's not your friend. How did you see the game? Oh, you see the moves he did? What moves, man? No, your friend is the one who... Naam, even though he want to play games, he want to play basketball, he want to play whatever, but then he knows who he is, and he wants to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he respect the masjid, he respect his parents don't, subhanAllah, don't complain, and he respect the house of Allah, he respect the book of Allah, he respect the salat, he respect the classes, he respect the elders. That's a good friend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us in the book, in his book, the Quran, the danger, the imminent danger, the extreme danger of bad friends and being with them and listening to them and following them. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Furqan, verses 27 to 29, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا يا ويلتى ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا لقد أضلني عن الذكر بعد إذ جاءني وكان الشيطان الإنسان خذولا. The day when a ظالم, the wrongdoer, the one who wronged himself, on يوم القيامة will bite on at his hands, and he will say, "Oh, would that I have taken had taken a cat with the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh, woe to me! Would I had never taken so and so as a intimate friend, as a close friend?" See. He indeed, meaning that friend, he indeed led me astray from the reminder from the Quran after it had come to me. And shaitan is to man ever a deserter in the hour of need. You want to make the same statement as Yawm al-Qiyamah? You want to follow those people who just wants, you know, to watch games and talk about people and listen to music and they want to start trouble? These are the people that you call them your friends? They don't remind you of Allah, they don't remind you of Salat. Even if you're with them and you receive a phone call and one of them say, "Who's that?" "Oh, that's my mother." "Come on, man, click on her, man. Come on, man. Your mother now, she's bothering you too. Isn't it enough she bothers you at the house? These are your friends now?" No, a friend is the one who tell you, like for example, you were talking like this, and then right after the talk he's like, "Don't tell me you were talking to your mother." "Oh yeah, man, I'm talking. She's bugging me." He said, "Listen, man, you're talking to your mother like that. You're not my friends, man. You don't know me. I don't know you. Until you behave with your mother, that's a good friend. So you're talking to your mother like that? Huh? You're fake, man. You're fake. You're not true. You're not real, man. Because if you're really real, you will never disrespect your mother like that. This is how you talk to your mother? And you're a Muslim? You pray in the masjid? And you talk to your mother like that? That's no good. That's a good friend. A good friend, he will tell you, man, listen, this is how you talk to your father? This is how he acted in the masjid, akhi? SubhanAllah. This is how you do? This is how you talk about this and this and this? That's a good friend. And also the Prophet ﷺ, he resembled your friend that you sit with like the one who sells musk, the good perfumes and fragrance, and the blacksmith, the one who works with the fire. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, a good friend, a good friend is like someone who sells oils and perfumes. If you're around the person who sells oils and fragrance and good smell things, whether you buy from him, if you buy, what you buy? You buy good things, right? If you don't buy, he may give you something. If he give you a gift, is he giving you something bad? No, he's giving you something that smells good. If you didn't buy, and he didn't give you anything, just by being around him, once you leave out, what do people say about you? "You smell good, man. Where you come from?" See? Now, if you are around somebody who works with the fire, what's going to happen? Whether he burn your clothing? If you escape that one, what's going to happen? You smell bad with the smoke. Likewise, a friend. A bad friend, whether he burn you, man. He burn you. He burn your image, your reputation. Get you in a lot of trouble. Or if none of that happened, just being with him, your reputation stinks. Because if he's doing a lot of bad things, then they're like, "Oh yeah, he got to be just like him." عَنِ الْمَرْءِ لَا تَسْأَلْ بَلْ اسْأَلْ عَنْ خَلِيلِهِ. They said, listen, man, you don't even have to go and ask about a person. Just ask about his friends. If you know something about his friends, that tell you something about him. Number three. حاول أن تجعل لك هدفا نبيلا تسعى من أجل تحقيقه. Number three, he says, as a young person, when you're very young, you have to have a plan. You gotta be a man with a plan. You gotta have to have a goal and say, I'm gonna reach this goal in 3 years from now, in 5 years from now. Because when you have a goal, you work for it. If you live your life without goal, your life is going to be in disorder. You don't have no order. That's why look in the school. If you want to get a bachelor, how many years you study in university?
4 years.
Four. But how these years go? They just come to you when you go register, they say, listen, in 4 years we're gonna test you, okay? Everybody, maybe everybody's gonna fail the test. But now they give him a schedule, right or wrong. They give him curriculum. The first semester have a curriculum. You gotta come at this time. Teachers, homework. That's how you do it. Likewise. You gotta have a curriculum in your life. This is what I'm gonna do in the morning. This is what I'm gonna do in the afternoon. This is what I'm gonna go do on Friday. This is what I'm gonna do on Monday. And this way, you have a goal. He says, a year from now, I'm going to finish this. In 1 week, I'm going to finish this book. Now, 3 days go, and you're like, man, you didn't even finish one page. And you're like, subhanAllah, I'm supposed to finish this book in 4 days. I didn't even start it, and you agree on it. Okay? And this way, your life will have a meaning, and you will benefit from your time. May Allah have mercy on us. Giving you this advice, I'm the first one that need these advices. May Allah have mercy on us. So you got to have some time to read books. But the best book you start with is the book of Allah. Memorize it if you can. If you can't, begin to memorize and try to memorize the most of it. And while you're memorizing, get a tafsir and try to understand the meanings. Likewise, read the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and the like. Try to memorize what you can. Start with Furi Hadith, Bulugh al-Maram, and whatever you can memorize from the Sunnah, because it helps you. And it gives you balance in your life. Because we're traveling, we're on a journey towards the hereafter. Do we have enough provisions? These are the provisions. The Book of Allah, the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Akhlaq, manners, adab, aqidah. This is the provision. Can you imagine somebody traveling from here to California, but they broke? They have $3 in their pocket. $3. I'm going to California. You're going to Clarkston and coming back. We're going to see you in Isha, inshallah. I'm going to California. No, you mean Clarkston. $3. What $3 going to take you where? Where? Huh? Nowhere. But if a person says, listen, I'm going to California, he has $3,000, you say, mashallah, this person, alhamdulillah, he got a nice car. Okay? This person got nothing. No car, no bike. Not even a bike. And he got $3 in his pocket. I say, I'm going to California. I call you in 3 days. Yeah, you call me from Clarkston or from Lilburn or Norcross. That's where you're going to call me from. Stuck somewhere. Because they ain't going to go to no California with $3. No, people want to make it to the Jannah. One, they broke, man. No Quran, no Sunnah, no manners, no akhlaq, no salat, no masjid, no respect for their parents, no respect for anybody. I'm going to the Jannah. What Jannah? Which one? You have some provisions. La ilaha illallah. Likewise, you gotta attend the classes that are in your masjid. If your masjid is upon the sunnah, upon the tawheed, like this masjid, alhamdulillah, you gotta attend those classes. Because what is taught in the like of this masjid, alhamdulillah, the books of the ulama. But if you're in some masjid or upon something else, no, you don't sit in their classes. They are upon Hizbiyya, upon Bid'ah, Sufiyya, stuff. No, you don't sit with them. Because what you want to learn? You want to learn the right Islam. And also, if you, alhamdulillah, you know Arabic, you want to listen to the statements of the ulama, the CDs, Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh al-Albani, Sheikh bin Uthaymeen, and many others. Let's mention these names because they are the major scholars, but there is so many others in many other countries, alhamdulillah. And you listen to them and you benefit. Number 4, احرص على البر بوالديك وقم بما لهما عليك من حقوق. That's number 4. You got to be nice and kind and respectful to your parents. You can't make it, man. You can't make it without them. Even if a young man, alhamdulillah, he prays in the masjid, memorizes Quran, Allah, he reads hadith, he can give a nice khutbah, he can explain a nice hadith, but he disrespects his mother or father, man, he's in trouble. He's in big trouble. Now, that's why the Shaykh, the first advice, you got to be kind to your parents. Be nice, gentle. Obey them in that which is pleasing to Allah. Never disrespect them. Never talk bad to them. Never look bad to them. What about those youth, teenager who slammed the door in the face of his mother? Like this, this man, he's narrating this. His son, he was having a dialogue with his son, and the son, the teenager, he picked his father up and want to throw him, and the son, he's like, "Oh Allah, help me!" He's like, the father says, "No," he says, "Help me." He says, "How Allah's gonna help you, man? You want to throw me? Allah's gonna help you." Look how they think like this. No, he says something, it's a statement that the area they say are that Luwalidin, because I'm being nice to my parents. The father says, man, parents, maybe your mother, not me. Maybe you're nice to your mother, but as for me, man, don't count on that one. Gotta be nice to your parents. You gotta fulfill their rights. Why? Because Allah has advised you with this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. وَوَصَّيْنَا, we have made it obligatory. We enjoin upon men to be kind to his parents. The ulama, the scholar, he says, even if your parents are non-Muslims. Damn. Even if they are non-Muslims, man, you got to be kind and nice to them. And even if they call you to kufr and shirk, they tell you this Islam, no, it's no good, just come back to the church, still they give you no right to disrespect them. Because Allah says, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطَعْهُمَا. If they strive hard to get you involved with shirk, obey them not. Don't obey them. Did Allah say smack them in the head? What Allah says after that? Zakariya, akmil al-aya. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. And live with them in this life with kindness. Be nice to them. And if you are nice to them and they are non-Muslims, who knows? Maybe that's how they're going to be Muslims, inshallah. You're nice. They are not nice to you. They talk bad about you and this and this. And then you're kind. And you visit them. And you help them with their bills. You know what they like. And you, once a while, you give them that what they like. You invite them to your house and you take care of them. You give them the best food, the best place to sit. After all of this, Allah may open their hearts to Islam. Allah may open their hearts to Islam. I'm going to share with you a story that we heard from Shaykh Falah Ismail, Hafidahullah Ta'ala, about the importance of being nice to the parents and how, because of that, Allah may open the hearts of somebody else to Islam. Because sometimes we don't pay attention to a lot of things, but other people are paying attention to our actions. I'll tell you the story after the Adhan, because it's time of the Adhan. Inshallah ta'ala, remind me if I forget, okay? Now, as I mentioned, Shaykh Falah Ismail, Hafidahullah, he mentioned this to us when he was here last summer, in his visit to the United States. And he said that he was in Germany for treatment. And being there, alhamdulillah, he was given classes in this masjid in Germany. And the brothers in that masjid, they told him, Shaykh, we want to tell you a story, subhanAllah, it was an amazing story. He says, go ahead. He says, after the salat, one day we were sitting in the masjid, couple of brothers in from the administration or so. He says, a young boy, maybe 13, 14, a German, from Germany, Caucasian boy. You know, he says, he just came in. And he talked to them in Dutch, okay? He said to them that, listen guys, I want to be Muslim like you. SubhanAllah. And they said to him, how old are you? So when he told them the age, they said, you're alone or who brought you here? He says, my mother. She's in the car. They says, we want to talk to your mother. Is this your mother? Want you to be Muslim? He says, yeah. So they went one and they went outside to talk to the mother. Yes, she was in the car. They says, ma'am, this is your son. He came and says he want to be Muslim. And he says that you want him to be Muslim. She says, yeah, I want him to be Muslim. I want to be Muslim too. I want to try your religion too. So they gave him the Shahada and they said to her, ma'am, would you please tell us what happened? She said, I'll tell you what happened. She says that she has these neighbors, Muslims, from Pakistan. Pakistanis. The Sheikh said they look like Pakistan or India. They cross the street in the corner. She said that for years she's watching them. She go outside on her porch, and drinking whatever she drinks, tomato juice, whatever. That's not our problem, all right? Mohim, she's sipping her drink, her juice or whatever it is. We think good, okay? She's drinking juice, inshallah, or coffee, and she's watching. She's watching for years. What's going on? And then the children, they grow. They grow up and get married and they left. Only the parents, two older parents, they stay in the house. But every weekend and during the weekdays, those children, they come. They bring their wife and children and bring food and fruits. And they come and visit their parents consistently. She said, and then they open the door for them and everybody kissing, hugging. They having fun. She says, me? She says, I have like four other kids other than this one. They all grown up. Once they be 18, they gone. I don't see them. I don't know what they doing. I'm a mother. I worry about them. I don't even know what they doing. If they sick. Maybe one of them sent me a card on a Mother's Day. She said, that's why I don't want this one to be like them. She said to him, to them, I already lost those four children. I lost them to this life. I don't want to lose this one. That's why I want him to be like you. Allahu Akbar. Ikhwan, subhanAllah, it's amazing what our actions can do. But if they can work in both ways. Alright? Like a sword. You can slice a watermelon, you can slice something else. Or the watermelon, the one who sells the watermelon. Which one? You know, it's like so as they say, actions speak louder than words. We can talk all we want, but it takes one action and it can destroy everything. So that's why the Shaykh said you got to be kind to your parents, be nice to them, speak to them in a good manners. Always choose the best expressions when you address your parents. Be patient. Even if your parents tell you stuff, you this and that, you all that. Be patient. Never look bad to them. Even look. Allah says, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ. Uff. This can say that. The ulama, they says from that you can look bad to them like this. They say even this is even worse. Because they don't know what goes in your mind. SubhanAllah, some parents are scared of their teenagers. They're scared. Because the teenagers threaten them. Just wait. Wait for what? A Muslim teenager is not like this. When you want tawfiq, the Shaykh says, SubhanAllah, teenagers disrespecting their parents and they want tawfiq from Allah. Where are you going to get this tawfiq and this life on the hereafter if you disrespect your parents? If you don't listen to your parents, if you disrespect them, talk bad to them, you don't want to do anything in the house. sitting watching the TV, and the mother that 65 years old, she's the one taking the trash out in a cold night. It's not even right, man. It's not right. Now, if you know a friend, you have a friend like that, that's not your friend, man. I'm telling you right now. If you have a friend like that, that disrespect his parents, don't help his parents, give his parents a lot of trouble. If you really care about that brother, talk to him. Try to understand why he's disrespecting his parents like that. Because like I told you, some teenagers, they have good hearts. But just because they've been around some people and they learn bad things. So talk to him. He may listen to you because you're his friend. Tell him, listen, akhi, we're friends, but listen, man, I came to your house and I saw how you talk to your mother. Akhi, this is not good, man. This is not right. This is not pleasing to Allah. What are you going to say to Allah when you meet Allah? So this is very important. That's what friends do for friends. And of course, for us parents, we have to set the good example. Sometimes parents, they just blame the teenagers. Oh, teenager. Yeah, but before he was... is this son of yours was born a teenager? Was he born 17 years old? Well, he was 17 years in front of your eyes. 17 years. What did you do for all this? Some parents, they're negligent. They neglect their children. Education. In many ways. Especially those parents that come to America from other countries. But this for both, even those who were born here. Their mind is on money. The father and the mother, they both work. Because they have programs. She has her own list and he has his own list. Now, who paid the price? The children. They get up in the morning and they drop the children where? The young ones where? Daycare. I call it don't care. Because those people, they really care about the education of your children? They don't. They do it for the money. And even if you find some of them that have some, alhamdulillah, they want to care, are they going to do the same job like the mother do for her children? Are they going to give them the same affection? No. And even if they want to give them that affection, one mother, she has one son, is like one lady, she has 25 children? No, it's not the same. Now the children, they go to school, public school, hear all that poison things. When they get off the work, where they go? Nobody in the house. A babysitter in the house. Oh, stay with the neighbors until your father comes from work. At 5 o'clock. Okay, from 2:30 or 3 o'clock until 5 o'clock, there are the neighbors. Who are the neighbors? The neighbors. In the streets. And after all that, oh, my son is a bad son. Were you a good father? 16 years. Did you teach him Quran, Sunnah? You bring him to the masjid with you? Did you talk to him? Did you take him as a friend? Did you try to know what he's going through? Did you check his friends? Who is he? Where he goes? Where he don't go? Who he talk to? Who he don't talk to him? Because keep in mind, if we don't talk to our children, somebody else is talking to them. With the parents, we have to set the good example. Because the children, they copy. They just copy the parents. And you cannot just be righteous in the masjid. No, you gotta be righteous in the masjid and at home too. Some people, they wanna like in the masjid, they wanna look righteous, but then in the house, music, movies and all that, and their children, they expose them in the house of Allah. Then the child, the brother is like, oh, yeah, alhamdulillah, right? And then the son, father, the movie is not about to start. What movie? Yeah, look, that's what it is. Let's go, father. The movie is started already. And the son is going to say, A'udhu Billah, who are you? That's your son. So you're not going to be like, act like you're righteous in the masjid. That's why I said in the beginning, We're given advices to the youth, but we need these advices. We have to get it straight. We have to fear Allah, in not just in a masjid. In the masjid, at home, at work, when we drive. And if we're struggling with something, and we got to be struggling with something because we're human. كُلُّكُمْ خَطَّاءُ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ The Prophet ﷺ said, all of you wrong yourself. There's nobody that is perfect amongst us. But at least we should say, listen man, this is not good. You got to stop. So we have to set the good example. And also we have to advise the children constantly. If we cannot advise them, because not all parents, mashallah, they have hikmah and wisdom, bring them to those who can. Bring them to the classes, the like in the masjid here. Bring your children with you. Doesn't matter, even in halfway the class they go to sleep, alhamdulillah. But they come here, they hear Quran, they hear the sunnah, they hear maw'idah. They see the Muslims. They sit in, alhamdulillah, in a good environment. No music, nobody smoking. Does anybody smoke in the masjid? But if you take them to a coffee shop, people smoking, people yelling, people screaming, that's what your children, they're going to copy. You bring them to the masjid, alhamdulillah, they don't see that stuff. What they see? They see people that humble themselves. They sit in, and they say, subhanallah, astaghfirullah, alhamdulillah, they hear the statements of Allah. That's a good thing, ikhwan. And that's the purpose of the masjid. The masjid have no other purpose. The masjid is not in a business to make money. It's not a church. No, this is the masjid, the house of Allah. So that we benefit from and our children benefit from. So we need to bring our children. And of course, before we bring them and our teenagers, because if we bring our children and we're consistent, when they become teenagers, they already love the masjid. They will remind us, Father, it's time for salat, let's go. Now we neglect them until when they become 15. Oh, listen, put your shoes on. And where are we going? Masjid. Oh, no, man, I don't feel good. But if you tell him, let's go, we're going to watch the game, oh, he's ready. Now we have to, this is the education. We have to make our children love the masjid. And we the people that come to the masjid, we have to be kind to other children who come to the masjid. Even if they run and they make some trouble, they're children. We talk to them nicely. MashaAllah, hayyakallah, this, so that they can love the masjid and love to come to the masjid. أسأل الله لي ولكم التوفيق والسداد. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يصلح قلوب شبابنا وشاباتنا. May Allah rectify the hearts of our youth, boys and girls. May Allah protect them, ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them from the evil of the shaitan and the wickedness of the shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them from the temptations of these times. Many are the temptations everywhere. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them the comfort of eye of their parents. May Allah make them righteous and upright, because there is a great responsibility upon their shoulders. May Allah preserve our teenagers, boys and girls, and our children, boys and girls. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open their hearts for tawheed, for aqeedah, for Quran, for the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the masjid beloved to them, the book of Allah beloved to them, the sahaba beloved to them, the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ beloved to them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid and assist the parents as well. Because it's not to have one teenager and acting up, that's not easy. What about having two or three or four or five? So may Allah protect them, ameen, and Allah have mercy on those parents and aid them and assist them, ameen. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakum Allah khairan wa barakallahu fikum.